Well, we are very glad tonight to have Reverend Ralph Hall along with us. He's going to be preaching the Word of God in a little time as well, but he's going to come first of all and give a report of the work there in Kingston, Tasmania, where he has been labouring over these past number of years. He does have a presentation as well, and we'll watch that during the supper time, so we'll do that then. But he's going to come now and give a report on
it. Well, it is very nice to be able to come along and to share with you this evening just a little of the work in Tasmania. Tasmania has quite a notorious history in beginning, being a penal colony for Mother England for many years. You know, of course, that many prisoners were sent out to Australia. Well, the prison colony in Port Arthur in Tasmania was reserved for the very worst of the worst. And if you reoffended in any of the other prison colonies, that was where you were sent to. So it's quite a notorious heritage. But there's also a gospel heritage. Right from the beginnings, when churches sent out ministers and evangelists to preach unto those prisoners, and even right up into more recent times, certainly where we are in Kingston, which is just a little south of the capital Hobart, there is a very rich gospel heritage. In fact, Kingston has been referred to at times as the Bible Belt of Tasmania. And that's in no small measure due to the number of Dutch immigrants that arrived in the area just shortly after the Second World War. They were fleeing Europe because of the horrors that they'd seen, and with a desire for a new life and new beginning for themselves and their family. And what's quite remarkable is that the number of those immigrants that came that brought their reformed faith with them. And their priority was very clear from the beginning. When they arrived, their first item of business to take care of was the building of a church, and then the building of a Christian school. And then they saw to the building of their own homes and houses. And that was very much the priority, that threefold cord not quickly broken as they saw it. The church, the school, and the home in harmony in the gospel. And certainly over those years, 1950s, 60s, even into the 1970s, there was quite a very strong reformed and evangelical witness in and around the Kingston area of Tasmania. The problem, of course, comes, well, you may remember back a few years ago to our own 40th anniversary as a denomination, and it was noted at the time that 40 is the year of generation. And it's a year of testing, and so often we find even in the scriptures that after 40 years that decline begins to set in, and that was very much the case in Tasmania. Those churches that had started out so well, after 40 years there was certainly a noted decline in their fervour for the things of God. It can be put down to a number of things. Really, a pursuit of the world is how it's manifest itself, a desire to follow every new and novel thing in order to bring in a crowd. And of course that means setting the gospel to one side, a watering down of the message. And that's what happened. And in the summer of 2003, there were some who were discontent with the trends that they were seeing in their local churches and decided that they would band together, a little group separated onto the gospel and onto the Lord, and they would seek again the old paths. And therein lies the beginning of the Free Presbyterian Church in Kingston, Tasmania. So we're a relatively young congregation, starting in 2003. There were days of growth, and there have been days of heartache and days of pain within the congregation. But the Lord certainly has had his hand upon it. 2007 through to 2013, there was no full-time minister in the church, but our mission board saw to it that ministers, elders, students and licentiates were sent out to supply the need of the pulpit there. Some going out for 6 weeks, others for 2 months, some for a little longer, but always seeking to supply the gospel pulpit there in Kingston. It was to that end that the Reverend Harris asked if I would go out to help fill in the need there, perhaps for 2 months. My wife and I had been praying about the work in Australia prior to that, and his telephone call came at the end of a conversation that we'd had one with another, saying if we were going to go back, we'd need to go now. And within 5 minutes, the question had been asked of us, would you consider going to Tasmania? Well, we did go. We consented to go for 2 years. That's the length of a temporary working visa. We've extended that. Indeed, we've got a permanent visa now that allows us to come and go at our leisure. And we arrived there in 2013 to help in that little work in Kingston. We saw it very much as a congregation that needed a little bit of help and assistance and encouragement. They had maintained well over those years of vacancy, but it takes its toll. And we were glad to be able to go and provide a more sustained ministry for them for a period of time, not knowing that the Lord might perhaps keep us on beyond those initial 2 years. But what did we find when we got there? A little nucleus of people, 15 to 20, that could be found at every meeting, both morning and evening, at the prayer meetings. If you call for a time of outreach, they'd be there ready to give their service to the things of God. A group of people that really were and would be a delight to any pastor's heart, could be dependent upon, and were there through thick and through thin for the cause of God. And we ministered to them, and we preached the gospel, we opened the scriptures, and we read, and we prayed, and we taught the message of the gospel, we preached Christ. And there was certainly a time of consolidation, of holding on to what we had, and that little group began to grow and to develop and to mature and become emboldened in their faith. For so long it felt as if they were just hanging on, but now they were encouraged and going out and sharing the gospel with their friends and their neighbours and their families. And little by little, over the last 12 months or so, we've noticed that some who had been, well, a little infrequent in their attendance, maybe only making an appearance every month or so, or every 3 weeks, were starting to come along more regularly, until at last we found that they were there every Lord's Day, and some have started attending the prayer meetings as well now. We found some that were that had left during the vacancy to find a church that would have had a full-time ministry, were starting to make their way back again. We found that others who have become increasingly discontent with the trends that they're seeing in the local churches, deciding that what they want more than anything is the Word of God to be read and preached, fed up with all of the nonsense that's happening around them. And that little fellowship has grown now to approximately 35 to 40 sometimes, if everyone is well and everyone out. And we're asking you to pray for that work, that God might be pleased to strengthen it. There are some that are new converts that have a lot to learn and a lot of growing to do. We're praying that God might strengthen them, encourage them in the things of God. They might bind them together with other believers, and that we'd be in a means of strengthening one another, an iron that sharpeneth iron. We're praying for new families to be added. We'd love to see mums and dads and boys and girls coming along to the services. It would be such an encouragement to those that are there, to help with the Sunday school work. We're praying for families to be added. We're asking that you pray for the men folk of the congregation, some that have only been in attendance now for, I suppose, the best part of a year. We're wanting them to see that this is truly their spiritual home, that they'll become members of the congregation, that they'll say, this is where we worship the Lord, this is where we serve Him. We're looking to a day when we'll be able to elect new elders and appoint new committees, and we need men for those tasks. We're praying that God might bring those who are in attendance into full membership and into that place of service for Him. We're praying for the boys and girls of the area. It's difficult for us to have a midweek children's meeting just because of the nature of life in Tasmania. School bell rings at 3 o'clock and everyone's disappearing. There's all kinds of activities for them. There's football and tennis and swimming and gymnastics and every social occasion you can think of. And once 6 o'clock comes, everyone goes home and no one goes out then for the rest of the night. So we find it very difficult to have a midweek children's meeting. But we are bringing them into the church via holiday Bible clubs. And that has provided us with access into homes and into families to invite them along to the church. And we're praying that God would raise up those boys and girls unto salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sad because so many of them, even those who attend other churches, they're not hearing the gospel. They're not being introduced to the Saviour of souls. There are other churches in the area, and to be perfectly honest, they would break your heart as you go past, because there's hundreds that would attend. And I say that because they're attending for all the wrong reasons and not hearing the gospel when they get it. It's a popularity contest in many places. Who can draw the biggest crowd? And there's all kinds of gimmicks and all kinds of attractions to bring them in. And the gospel's been watered down. There's one church that we're familiar with, and they had donkey rides for the children up and down the aisle of the church on Easter Sunday. So another church who seen the crowds that were attracted to that decided to have bouncy castles for their children. And you drop your children off at the bouncy castle on the way into church. You go to the service and they leap around for an hour or so. And then you pick them up and bring them home again. No Sunday schools for them. No one to teach them a Bible lesson or a memory verse. No one to tell them about the things of God. Bouncy castles and clowns and jugglers and all kinds of entertainment, but no gospel. And even if you do attend one of those churches, the message that you hear is not the word of God as we are familiar with it. Not the gospel of Christ. It's a little story, little homily, something to make you feel good about yourself and send you on your way thinking, well, I'm not too bad after all. I'll share one story with you. Probably one of the bigger churches in the area. We were driving past it one Sunday morning on our way to our own service. And my wife Tanya said to me, look at the crowd that's going in there. I wonder what they're hearing. She says, when I go home, I'm going to go on the internet and I'm going to look up a sermon from that church and listen to what they're being told. Well, I think it was a couple of days later. And she says, Ralph, you've got to hear this. And I says, well, I'm really not that interested in. He says, no, you really have to listen to what he's saying. And he's preaching from John chapter 4, the woman at the well. And he told the congregation, said, this woman who's come out to get her water at midday, even though all of the rest of the women would have been there first thing in the morning, there's nothing to suggest that she's there at that time of the day because of any sin in her life or because of any conflict with the other women. She's there in the middle of the day, perhaps she just had a late start. Perhaps there was other things came up that inhibited her from getting out early. And when the Savior speaks to her about having 5 husbands, he doesn't condemn her. How tragic for this woman to be so young and widowed so many times. All of her husbands dying while still in her youth. And the fact that she's with a man now that's not her husband. Why isn't she just like some of the young people in the church today? She just can't afford to get married. And that's what they're being told. There's no sin being mentioned, no need for repentance or turning to the Lord, no trusting in Him for salvation. Just a little story. The gospel's being denied, and we don't want to be like that. We want to be that little church where you go to that the Bible's read and the gospel's preached, and where the saints are built up and the backsliders are restored and the unconverted are told of their need of a Savior. We don't want to be giving sugar-coated messages so that people are not offended. The gospel is an offense to those who refuse to believe. It's a savor of life unto life for some, but it is a savor of death unto death for others. And we see it as our duty before the Lord to be faithful to Him and to preach His word in all of its fullness, to be instant in season and out of season. And we look to the Lord to bless. I'm fully, fully convinced that the Lord has yet people in that Kingston area. And John 10 reminds us that the Lord's sheep hear His voice and they follow Him. And we are praying and we are laboring and working to that end, that as the gospel goes forth, that those who are the Lord's will hear His voice and follow after Him. And we trust that you'll pray for us. How best to pray? Well, what you're praying for yourselves here in Newton Abbey, just pray exactly the same things for us in Kingston. You're praying for the fellowship and the believers to be built up in their faith, so are we. You're praying for new families to be added, so are we. You're praying that the gospel might go forth from this place into a community that's in darkness, well, so are we. You're praying for your minister to be faithful to the word, so are we. You're praying for the boys and girls and the youth of your church and of the area, so are we. We face many of the same issues, the same problems, we have the same opportunities in many regards as well. Whatever you're praying for yourselves here in Newton Abbey, just pray exactly the same for us in Kingston. The Lord has people there, and we are there at the Lord's disposal. There's a wonderful little verse in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, and I leave it with you, that whatsoever thy hand findeth to
do it with thy might. May the Lord be pleased to bless the work in Kingston, and the work in Newton Abbey, indeed, wherever his faithful few are found to the preaching of the gospel. Bring many rewards and praises unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are prayer cards available. We'd like you to take one with you when you're going. Put it somewhere prominent. Remember us in prayer every time you pass it by. There's also some pens available. Again, please take them with you. And as you use it, do remember the work in Australia. We cherish your prayers. We're far flung. We're really at the ends of the earth. And the opportunities for fellowship are few. But we pray that God might increase the number of his people. We will have great times of rejoicing in his name.